I don't have to tell you that God makes much of motherhood. You just look in the book of Genesis, and you find that God made man, and man was found to be alone. So he made woman from the man and brought the woman to him. The instruction to them was this: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We understand biology in here, don't we? We understand that to fill the earth with men, mankind, with people, we need a man and a woman. And God created it this way, Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them this instruction, this command, and said, fill the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. She, the woman, is imperative to God's design for mankind to fill the earth because she is a woman. She's uniquely designed. And get this, listen, she's uniquely designed to bear children. You might say, oh, wow, that's a novel idea. We need to hear that today. We need to hear that today because our world has a lot of different ideas about these things, about the basic biology. Things are changing in their thinking. But not so from God, not according to God's word. And so God gave the woman the unique privilege, and I know it's part of the curse as well, of bearing children. I say I know not from personal experience, but from observing and from testimonies. And I don't want to scare anybody. I know we have a lady great with child back here, and you know, time's coming. But what a blessing. Yeah, plug your ears. No. What a blessing. And I want to just, with that in mind, God understood the challenges that we would have because of sin. I mean, he cursed mankind because Adam and Eve sinned. And that was the due reward. And the curse in Genesis chapter 3 certainly involves for the woman the bearing of children, pain in childbirth, and also that she should desire to be over her husband. And so you have that tension in the marriage relationship as well. But what I love about God is His mercy. And just as some personal testimony in this regard, we have 9 children. You understand that. And so there's a lot of, 9 times going through this. And what a joy it was, Julia, right, to learn as we went through. And as we had our children, and we began to learn how to incorporate God's mercy and blessings into that process. It stands out in me, in my mind, as we gave birth to Evangeline and Faith. Listen to me, I take ownership over this. We gave birth. As you gave birth, to Evangeline and Faith, our youngest 2 children, how drastically different those experiences were. Do you agree? Yeah. And what it was God was showing us how He has given us His word and the power of His word to minister in the depths of our frailness as people and humans. And His word can minister to us even though we're experiencing the pains of the curse. In His mercy, He can carry us through. The verse that you you put to memory and that we played over and over was Isaiah 41:10, right? Isaiah 41:10. And it was just a precious balm, and I watched God calm my wife in times in the past when she was, it was just really, really hard. I watched the word of God comfort her, even though she, yes, was in a lot of discomfort. This is just personal, but you know, we be personal about these things because we're real people. And you experience your own things in your own life. But I want to just remind us as we think about motherhood today that God understands and has granted his mercy to you ladies. In the realm of being a mother, you have great access to his comfort. Are you making use of that? That is a question to think about. You know, motherhood is hard. It's difficult. You watch the struggles even in the scriptures, the tensions that exist, the exhaustion that you feel, the heart that gets broken over and over again. But God, in his word, ministers his mercy unto you. God has designed you as women, and God has designed you to be a mother. If God has granted children into your life, whether they be physical or those who look to you as a mother, right? God has done this, and in his mercy, he ministers his comfort to you. Make much of the word of God in your personal life. We heard testimonies today of the impact upon a child when the child sees their mother in the Word. You know, we share these testimonies, and it's not to exalt some person. But listen, the testimony has an impact in that if a child is testify, I saw my mom in the scriptures on a regular basis, it must have left a mark. There must have been a difference. You know, our kids talk about us, their parents, right? When we're not around, I'm sure all kinds of discussions go on. My parents are so strict; they won't let me do this and don't let me do that. But you know what? As you get older, as kids, you start to think about, you know, wow, I had my mother, and my mother was kind, and she did spend time with the Lord, and I watched her follow after God and be a woman of faith. A practical insight that we could glean from this is this. Don't be secretive about your time with the Lord. I know it's not, you don't want to put on a show, but don't make it a secret either. Your children need to see where you get your faith. It's not from the TV. You got to be careful with this too, right? One of the things, I'm not against phones and against having a Bible on your phone, but you know what? When you see me on the phone, do you know what I'm doing? I could be reading the Bible here in church, right? Or I could be reading the news story or whatever, you know. Listen, think through what is being observed by my character and by my actions and make it clear. Because by the very testimony you've heard today, it is an impact to see my mom in the Word. I share that same thing. To this very day, my mom, I know where my mom is in the morning. She has been consistent. In fact, the chair hasn't even changed. It's that same chair. She just puts new covers over it. The chair is in the same place. Her bedroom has not changed in its layout. It's in the same place. And that's where she is in the morning. I know that. Think about the impact that I think about the impact that it has on my life. It tells me that my mom had an anchor. And she held tightly to it. So ladies, do you have an anchor? What is it? Do you hold tightly to it? Do your kids know that? Do they see that? First Samuel chapter 1. This is a interesting family because there's a man, husband, Elkanah, and there's two wives. That's right, two. Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah had children, verse 2, but Hannah had no children. So immediately in the text here, this incredible call of a mother. And in fact, you got to realize something, that especially for the Jewish people, to be a mother was an opportunity to be a direct part of God's redemptive plan and of the fulfillment of filling the earth. And especially as time went on, and if you were a woman, you wanted to have children. It was an honor to have children. It was recognized that children came from God. Listen, our culture preaches a different message. Children, you could take them or leave them. Optional. They might be a burden. Can you afford them? All kinds of different messages are told. It is an honor to have children. They are the gift from God, Psalm 127. The mother is imperative to God's plan of redemption. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, speaks of the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. So Hannah and Peninnah, there is a vast difference. Yes, they were both a wife of Elkanah, but one had children and the other did not. One was a mother and a wife. The other was just a wife. In today's day and age, it would be celebrated that you didn't have to have children, so you weren't burdened and all, and you didn't have to deal with all of those troubles and problems. But that is not the case. Instead, what we find is that Hannah is grieved. Verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, which we'll learn later, is Peninnah, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? What we're seeing here is that even Elkanah has fallen into this trap of not understanding why Hannah might be so grieved. He's longing, and his desire is to see her happy. But what can he do about that? This is where we remember they're coming out of the time period of the judges, where those who feared the Lord were few and far between. Hannah is grieved. She is weeping. She is being provoked by this other woman. She is experiencing this troubled heart, because the text tells us the Lord has shut up her womb. Now, the text is a recording of these events. But this would have been the common understanding if a woman was barren. Her longing was to have children. Let's talk about this for a moment. What is your view of children? This is really important for for you young people? Because I know that that you know you could look at children and you could say, let me share this. You watch your parents sometimes struggle to be Julia, you and I, we get frustrated as parents, don't we? Parenting is hard. I'll speak for myself then. I'm sorry. Parenting is hard for daddy here, all right? And I can get frustrated. And it could easily appear like, children, right? Wow. Now, this is where the anchor comes back in, right? The truth. Because we're human, right? We struggle, we wrestle with the tensions of life, and it's not all perfect in the Fetterhoff household, all right? But we come back to the anchor of God's truth and reminded of how special it is to have children. Not everybody can have children. Not everybody gets this privilege. And God gave us 9. Wow. What an honor. What an honor. And you dear ones who are mothers today and fathers, what an honor. How do you view children today? When you question and struggle with that very question, I encourage you to heed the words of Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. God's word here is giving us a view of children that's what? Very positive. Very affirming. Why was Hannah so troubled? Because she desired to be a mother. Verse 9 of 1 Samuel 1. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, one thing we recognize about Hannah is that she had an anchor. She is deeply wounded and grieved. But what we find is she turns to the Lord. She's turning to the Lord, and she's praying in essence here. She's praying to him. She's honest with the Lord. Notice that she calls him Lord of hosts, Lord of armies. The names of God are important. When you're reading through the Bible and you come across names of God and how people use the names of God, they play an important role in the text. The Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, Lord of many. You know, that tells us, and it tells Hannah here, in her mind, she views the Lord as mighty and strong. That he could handle this issue of her not having a child. He can handle that. That's a faith. That's a faith that has a history. You don't just come upon that kind of faith. You know, it's a history built upon a fear of the Lord and of worship. You know, what happens in your life when you're afflicted in heart? What kind of names do you call God? Lord of hosts. And then she's honest with God. She's not just mincing, just trying to make it sound pretty. She's honest with the Lord. She says, Lord, look on the affliction of your handmaid. She's calling it what it, I feel afflicted. And she asks the Lord to remember her, to not forget. And she asks the Lord for a son. Now, in this request, there is a step of faith. She says, Lord, you give me a son and I will give him to you. There's a worship here. There's a devotion. There is a recognizing, yes, I want to be a mother, but I am realizing it is in your hands regardless. Verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord and that Eli marked her mouth. I just want you to make note that she's continuing to pray. Okay? We only get a few snippets of what she's praying, but she's continuing to pray. She is before the Lord. She is where she needs to be. Ladies, men, all of us, really, are you where you need to be in times of affliction and trouble, sorrow? Now Hannah, verse 13, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunken? Put away the wine from you. Boy, she's not only getting it now from this other woman, Peninnah, but now she's getting it from the very priest. She's just praying. And she's charged with drunkenness. Listen to her response. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know, this is what we're talking about when we talk about how God meets us in our trouble and he comforts us. She's pouring out her soul unto the Lord. We can do that, and we should do that. Pour out our soul unto him. How many times are you in anguish in your soul? I struggle with this. This is a message for me here, because I will bottle it up. I will try to just man up through it. Just, I'll be okay. You know, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't let this get me down, you know, and I will seek to bottle. I think I very rarely will pour these things out to the Lord. This is a message for me here. I need to be more vocal and pouring these things out. You know, it was mentioned we're doing a class in the Psalms in our Sunday school hour. This is what we read in the Psalms. This is one of the precious gifts of the Psalms to the church. Because it meets us in the human frailty with an almighty God. And that relationship that is very true and very real, and the Psalms puts it to words and music. Pour out your affliction unto the Lord. Pour out my soul. Verse 16, count not your handmaid for a daughter, Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. And so the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Whoa, wait a minute. Her countenance changed. She was no longer sad. Well, was her prayer answered? There was no baby in her womb. What accounts for this change? It's not that she knew that she had a baby in her womb and said, so that's why it all changed. That's not what changed her countenance. That's not what ministered to her in her affliction and grief. What was it then? What was it? It was her faith in a mighty God, the Lord of hosts. And she did what she knew God wanted her to do, pour out her soul unto him. She couldn't make herself have a baby. She could have tried all kinds of different things, right? But she couldn't make it happen. I love that still, you know, in our human existence, it's really ultimately up to God. I mean, we're trying all kinds of different things in our world today. But if God wants you to have a child, he does that. And her countenance is changed, not because God gave her what she wanted, but because she was where she needed to be in her relationship with God. Because listen, does God always give you what you want? Does God always give you what you ask for? No, he doesn't. So we just, we struggle when we ask a lot of wrong, for a lot of wrong things, don't we? But she was where she needed to be, in the arms of the mighty God. Is that where you find yourself today? This is where truth ministers and gets us through lies. You know, we can get so bound by the lies of the world and the falsehood and the deception, but the truth sets us free from that. And just keep going back to the truth, letting the truth bathe you and cleanse you. Her countenance changed. It's not because she got what she wanted, but it's because she was with the Lord. Now, verse 19, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Translation is, they had a sexual relationship. They were intimate together as God designed it. And God remembered in that union. And he allowed a child to be conceived in her womb. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. She called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and abide there forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Yeah, God granted Hannah the privilege to be a mother. God remembered her and heard her cry. This did not change her devotion unto the Lord, to the very point that she followed through with her vow in granting her son to the tabernacle, to the priests, to serve the Lord. So in those days, that's what that meant. Full-time ministry meant you were right there around the tabernacle and you would serve the Lord, because the tabernacle was a center part of the worship system of the Jewish people. She held tightly to the Lord, to the faith that she had in him. But she was a mother. She remained a mother, whether her son was with her or serving the Lord over in the tabernacle. She was a mother. And God had granted that to her. There is no doubt about that. And she counted that a great blessing and privilege, to the point that she broke out in song. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, that he lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. She loved the Lord. She was excited about the Lord. She knew the Lord. And so she worshiped the Lord. It is later said that she would regularly go and visit her son, the tabernacle. She would make him a new coat every year. What do you think Samuel learned from his mother? I believe he learned how great God is. And we see God use Samuel in some mighty ways. He wasn't perfect. Nobody is, except for the Lord Jesus. Allow the Word of God to direct your thinking as a mom, to direct your thinking as you view children. Allow the Word of God to be your base and to be your anchor, to which you turn in times of great affliction. And do not be afraid to pour out your soul unto him. He is the Lord of hosts. He is able to handle the greatest of troubles. None will overcome him. He is always right and he is always good. He raises up and he puts down. Pour out your soul in worship. remember to lift him high. In the times when things are well and good, and when the times are hard, pour out your soul unto him. Circumstances do not have to dictate how you feel, but the truth of God's word endures forever. And we can approach life with a peace and a rest in his truth. It will always prevail over the lies in your life. Expose yourself often to its truth and let your children see that you do. We worship you together today. You are the Lord Jesus. You are our Savior, and salvation is found through you and you alone. Lord, in this gathering that we have here today, there are those who have incredible wounds and hurts. And perhaps it's as a result of their mother. God, I ask that you would minister as you know best into their heart and life, into their affliction. And that, God, they would turn to you to be the anchor. I pray for those in our midst who have the wondrous privilege of being a mother to children who they didn't bear. And yet they have children that look to them as mom. And I thank you for the opportunity that we as saints have to fulfill that role in people's lives. And I pray that you'd bless these families and these ladies who fulfill that role. I pray that we as a church would be faithful in accurately portraying the love of Christ to children. For God, we do believe they are blessed. They are a blessing. I ask you, Lord, that you would cultivate in the hearts of our mothers a confidence in you. Not a confidence in their husbands or the men in their life or in their children and the responses that they receive or their affirmation, but God, a sole confidence in you that you would be the one upon which they cling and fill them with your joy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.